now on the Space Show with Andrew Rennie, we wind the clock back 60 years. Right, the first man-made object to reach outer space was a German V-2 rocket in the 1940s. In 1957, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik 1 into orbit. The following year, the United States formed the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. The new agency adopted an ongoing plan to rocket a human into space on a suborbital trajectory and quickly expanded the plan to put one of them into orbit. Thus was born Project Mercury. Moves were made to select the person to make this daring spaceflight. During early 1959, candidates were tested both physically and psychologically. 60 years ago today, Australian time, NASA was ready to announce to the world who the 7 finalists were. It was still 1959, April the 9th, in Washington, D.C., when NASA's first administrator, Dr. Keith Glennon, stepped up to the microphone to say this.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we are introducing to you and to the world these 7 men who have been selected to begin training for orbital space flight. These men, the nation's Project Mercury astronauts, are here after a long and perhaps unprecedented series of evaluations which told our medical consultants and scientists of their superb adaptability to their coming flight. Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. The astronaut training program will last probably 2 years. During this time, our urgent goal is to subject these gentlemen to every stress, each unusual environment they will experience in that flight. Before the first flight, we will have developed our Mercury spaceship to the point where it will be as reliable as man can devise. We expect it to be as reliable as any experimental aircraft. It's my pleasure to introduce to you, and I consider it a very real honor, gentlemen. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
The news reporters were then invited to ask questions. One lady reporter, vastly outnumbered by her male colleagues, wanted to know which of the medical tests the astronauts had liked least. John Glenn answered.
Let's get a lady question now.
Would the gentleman mind telling us which one of the tests
the question is, would the gentlemen like to say which test they like least? I mean, I'm a secret, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll say the next but one because we're all agreeing on one. Johnny Glenn, you answer, and then we'll start this way and around that way.
That's a real tough one because we had some pretty good tests, but I think the tests out at Dr. Lovelace's place in Albuquerque out there, certainly some of the tests we had out there were the most trying, and it's rather difficult to pick one because if you figure how many openings there are on the human body and how far you can go in any one of them...
You gave it away.
Now, you answer which one would be the toughest for you.
Uh, Later, the same reporter asked what was the reaction of the astronauts' wives to their selection. Here is Scott Carpenter's answer.
Yep. Well, all their wives are going along with now, they say. They recall their wives' first reactions when they said they were going to volunteer.
The question is, or the observation, take your choice, while the wives of these seven men at the present time are all giving them support to the project, what about as the thing gets closer to the first orbital flight?
And would the
gentlemen like to recall, if they can, their wives' first reaction to a hazardous undertaking?
They decided they wanted to volunteer.
When they decided they wanted to volunteer for this project? Malcolm?
My wife's enthusiasm has matched mine throughout the program. As a matter of fact, when I was notified that I was to be considered during the second and third phases of the competitive program, I was at sea at this time, and so my wife called Washington and volunteered for me.
Good show. The Mercury 7, as they were collectively known, became instant celebrities. The following year, 1960, comedian Bill Dana built on this celebrity to work up this comedy gig.
A new policy here at the Hungry Eye is to bring you people who are in the news currently, and the gentleman you're about to meet could possibly be the most important man in any of our lives. He's the United States Air Force officer who has been chosen to be the first man sent into outer space. I'm referring to the chief astronaut with the United States Interplanetary Expeditionary Force, and here he is now. How do you do, sir? May we have your name?
My name, Jose Jimenez.
And you're the chief astronaut with the United States Interplanetary Expeditionary Force?
I am the chief astronaut. With the United States in the planet. But my name is Jose Jimenez.
Mr. Jimenez, could you tell us a little about your spacesuit?
Yeah. It's very uncomfortable.
How much did the spacesuit cost?
That spacesuit cost $18,000.
$18,000?
Yeah.
That seems rather expensive.
Well, it has two pair of pants. So that's only $9,000.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been noticing this, Mr. Jimenez. What is this called? A crash helmet?
Oh, I hope not.
What are the physical qualities that they look for in an astronaut?
The physical quality they look for in the astronaut. You got to have the perfect hearing. You got to have the perfect vision. You got to have the normal blood pressure. You got to have four legs.
You have to have four legs?
Yeah, they were going to send a dog, but they thought that would be too cruel.
Mr. Jimenez, you must have some opinions on the race for space.
All right, I will. I got one.
Good. What do you think of Vanguard 1 and Jupiter 2?
That was a pretty close game. I thought for sure the Vanguard was going to take it.
It was,
you know?
Close, yes.
What you were reading the papers about.
I know. Now, tell me, Jose.
I'll tell you, Jose.
Tell me.
Yes, I'll tell you. You just ask me, and I tell you.
All right. Were you a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral?
I was a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral. I was there when they opened the door into the nose cone, They took their mouth and they put their mouth inside the nose cone. Then they closed the door on that little mouth. I don't want to talk about it.
Please, Mr. Mendes, please, let's try to continue here. I want to ask you, what is the most important thing in rocket travel?
To me, the most important thing in the rocket travel is the blast off.
The blast off.
I always take a blast before I take off. Otherwise, I wouldn't get in that thing.
Well, after that, what is the procedure in taking off?
The procedure after that in taking off, you got to put on a step-up hydraulic double dynamo reversible booster. You got to activate the decompression activator. And you got to put on the anti-magnetic degaussing system.
And then you're really up there.
No, that opens the door. And lets out that little mouth.
Let's talk about the rockets themselves.
Well, I had trouble once with one of the rockets.
At Cape Canaveral?
No, at the Radio City Music Hall. Something about separate maintenance.
Yes. Let's change the subject.
Okay, if you know how.
Let's talk about the actual rocket trip.
Okay.
By the way, do you know it's costing the government $7 billion to send you on this trip into outer space?
That's not my fault. I told them I was willing to go tourist. And they said it's such a long trip. Go first class, and that's what adds up.
Okay, do you think the... Do you think there will be life on Mars?
Maybe if I land on a Saturday night. Something might be happening. Otherwise, I'm going to bring a book.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Jimenez. Of course, it's a very long trip into outer space.
Yes, it's a long trip.
And I just wonder what you'll do to entertain yourself during those long, lonely, solitary hours when you're all by yourself.
Well, I plan to cry a lot.
I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space.
I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space. And it is, you know. They only allowed you to have the 10 ounces of food.
Only 10 ounces of food?
That's right.
Well, how will you manage?
I'll eat out.
After you've been into outer space, Mr. Jimenez, and you return to Earth, where will you be landing?
I am going to be landing in Nevada.
In the state of Nevada?
In the state of Nevada.
Then you're convinced that they'll get you back to Earth?
I am convinced that they will get me back to Earth.
Good.
Just how far into it? That's what I'm not convinced about.
Well, surely they've made some provisions to break your fall.
To break my fall?
Yes.
Sure, Nevada.
Well, Mr. Jimenez, I think you're certainly to be congratulated for this very, very dangerous undertaking.
Well, don't say undertaking.
Mission. This very dangerous mission.
That's a better choice of words.
And before you go...
Don't even say go.
Before that, I just wonder if there are a few words that you'd like to say to the people of the United States.
Yeah, there are a few words that I'd like to say.
Please go ahead.
People of the United States. People of the United States of America. Please don't let them do this to me.
From the days when comedians could tell a joke without resorting to smutty expletives, that was Bill Dana with his routine called The First Man in Space. And just a reminder that the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on right now. Now, the actual first person in space was not to be one of the Mercury 7. Instead, it was Soviet Yuri Gagarin, who made one orbit of the Earth on 1961, April the 12th. The first of the Mercury 7 to get away was Alan Shepard. He was launched in 1961, May the 5th, on a suborbital hop on Mercury Redstone 3. He later flew to the moon on Apollo 14, and he died in 1998. The second away was Gus Grissom, again a suborbital flight on Mercury Redstone 4. He then flew the first two-man Gemini craft, and he was slated to fly the Apollo 1 mission, but in 1967, January the 27th, they were testing the craft, and he and two other astronauts died in a tragic fire. And some people suspect he might have gone on to be the first person on the moon had he survived, but that's speculation. The first American in orbit was John Glenn. That happened in 1962, February the 20th, on what was called Mercury Redstone 6. And he later flew as an elderly gent on STS-95, and he died in 2016. Number four was Scott Carpenter on Mercury Atlas 7, and he made such a mess of his flight, according to some of the other astronauts, that he was never allowed to fly again. So he only made that one orbital flight, and there was three orbits around the Earth. Then number five away was Wally Schirra, and he flew Mercury Atlas 8, an Earth orbital mission, then Gemini 6, a two-man craft, and then Apollo 7, the first manned Apollo craft with three people aboard. And Wally died in 2007. Then Gordon Cooper was number six. He flew the final Mercury Atlas mission and then went on to fly Gemini 5. And Gordo died in 2004. And you say, hey, that's only six flights. Well, Dick Slayton never got to make a Mercury flight, and he was grounded, and so he missed all the Gemini flights, he missed the Apollo flights, but did get the last Apollo flight, which was the Apollo-Soyuz test project in 1975, in which he met up with the two Russian cosmonauts in space, an orbital link-up, the first time that had been done. And Deke ran the astronaut office for many, many years, and he finally died in 1993. So that's the history of the seven Mercury astronauts.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.